Thank you for your precious, powerful, pertinent word. Thank you, God, that we have the freedom still here in America to gather together as the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to open our Bibles and to be able to study your word to show ourselves approved. I pray, Lord, that this just would not be another worship service, religious service, but it would be a life-changing experience for all of us. Every time we open your word, Lord, we can anticipate hearing from you, individually as well as corporately. And so I pray here this morning with open Bibles and open hearts that we would hear as your sheep from the Good Shepherd here this morning. Would you do that, please? And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And I've mentioned that over the past couple of weeks. Oftentimes we tell people, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. God shows us what we're saved from. It's some heavy-duty stuff. And there's a lot of things that I know about and read about in Scripture that I really, really can't comprehend. I just can't even imagine what it's going to be like here on earth for 7 years of tribulation. And we've seen some of it over the past few weeks. The good news is next week in chapter 19, things change. We're going to see Jesus Christ coming on a white horse, Air Horse One. And guess who's coming with him? We are on horses as well. And so you may be horsing around right now. Well, we're going to return with Jesus Christ from the wedding supper of the Lamb. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. Again, can you imagine what that's going to be like? I can't. But we're going to have a new glorified body to experience it, because this body of dust made up of the elements of the dirt would just go poof, you know. But we're going to have a new glorified body one day very, very soon. And so here in chapter 18, Babylon the Great has fallen. Babylon, of course, speaks of the world in the world system. The world religious system, the world political system, how timely is that? As well as the world economic system. Both chapters 17 and 18 speak of the fall of Babylon. 2 weeks ago on Sunday when I was here, just before we went away for a little vacation, we talked about the destruction of the harlot, the religious system. Chapter 17 dealt with the destruction of the ecclesiastical system, which was in the city on seven hills, which is Rome. That which is referred to as the harlot, the religious system that prostituted itself in the world, how sad. And you know, we can see how that could very easily happen. Look at a lot of the things that are going on in the world today in the name of religion that don't line up with God's word. The words of eternal life, the manufacturer's handbook. We need to get into God's word, folks, like never before. We need to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because there is an incredible, I'm blown away at the incredible amount of fear I see in the world today and in America. The best way to get rid of fear is faith. Faith pushes fear right out of your heart. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So guess what we're supposed to be doing? Get into God's word. But so last week it was the religious system that was destroyed. The harlot, the false religious system, and it was destroyed by the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, the leaders of the earth. And again, that is what is to come. Now here this morning in chapter 18, we're going to see the destruction of the political and commercial Babylon. How interesting. How timely. Coincidence? No way. It is amazing how God knows exactly what we need to hear and when we need to hear it. And I'm just blown away at preparing the messages recently with what's going on in America and what we see going on politically as well as economically. And it's not by coincidence. Not only that, I would appreciate your prayers because the spiritual warfare in my own personal life has heated up like I've never experienced it in my whole ministry. The number of years I've been in ministry, it's been insane. I'm experiencing things I've never experienced before. So I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Why? It's because we are exposing the plans and the sins of the devil. And he doesn't want this stuff to go out. He wants people to be blinded. You know, the Bible also says that just before the return of Jesus Christ, that the people will be in a stupor. I'm not going to expound on that one here this morning. But there's some stupid things going on in our country and in the world today. Things that I never, ever thought I would see. And so we're going to see here this morning the destruction of the political and commercial Babylon, which speaks of the world system. It will be destroyed by the judgment of God. Back in the book of Genesis, ancient Babylon was a great and powerful empire that rebelled against God. You remember the story, Genesis chapter 11, where they were going to build this tower to the heavens and they were going to, you know, like Satan, we shall ascend to heaven and we shall be like the Most High. Isaiah chapter 14 gives us a description of what Satan was saying, shaking his fist at God. And that was the case with the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. And so that's why the world system, politically, economically, and religiously, is called Babylon, the Babylonian system. And tell me, are we not there today with what we're seeing religiously and politically and economically? And so Babylon is used as a symbol, a term to this day of mankind's sinful rebellion against holy God. God's judgment has now come upon the earth. The church has been taken up to heaven, the harpazo, the catching away, the rapture. And the earth is now in the midst here in chapter 18 and towards the end of, this will be the end of the tribulation period here this morning, where Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are now facing the wrath of God. Back in chapter 17, the great harlot was destroyed, and so now, here this morning in chapter 18, the political and commercial system will be judged. It will as well be destroyed. And because this will conclude the 7 years of tribulation, like I said, next week, I am so excited for next week. If we're still here, Jesus Christ is going to return with his bride. Behold, the bride of Christ, those of us who believe. The church is not the building. Praise God. So many people think the church is the building. No, the church is those people who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit that believe in Jesus Christ. They gather together in the building. And so Jesus Christ is going to return with his bride. And it always blows me away, the song we just sung a moment ago, how our names are written on his hands. Our names are inscribed upon his heart. Can you imagine your name, if you're a believer, is inscribed upon his hands and upon his heart? Amazing, isn't it? You look at the world system, oh, it's a big deal if you're in the baseball hall of fame, football hall of fame, get your name in lights. That's bogus, man. I would much rather have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and on his hands and on his heart. There's no better place to have your name written. And we're going to be at the wedding supper. How's that going to be? I have no idea. But have you made reservations yet? Do you have a spot? If the trump of God would sound, would you be seated at the wedding supper of the Lamb, or would you still be here in church? What a bummer that would be. And so we will be clothed in white linen. And we will come back with him next week on white horses. So let's look at the end of the Babylon the Great. At the end of the great tribulation period this morning, let's look at the first three verses. And this is what the word of the Lord says. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And again, try to picture these things. But we won't have to because we won't be here. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Jesus referred to the birds of the air as demons. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The Bible sure gets descript, doesn't it? The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And so John writes here in the first verse, after these things. After what things? After the destruction of the religious Babylon, the religious system. And we can see that going on in the world right now. They are trying to mix Christianity with Islam, and they're calling it Chrislam. One word religion. The Bible very, very clearly says there's but one God. Elohim, God in three persons. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bible makes it clear there is no other name. What does that mean, no other name? No other name under heaven by which you must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ and Him alone. But look what's going on now. People are telling you, oh, there's many roads to heaven. I'm a good person. Really? Well, you're only the second one to ever walk this planet then, if you are, because the first one and only one is Jesus Christ Himself, and He got nailed to a tree. My Bible tells me that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And when people say, oh, it's all good, we're all good people, It's a majority, 100%. We all are sinners. We're all worthy of judgment. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon Himself on the cross on Mount Calvary so that we might be born again, so that we might be saved, so that we might be at the wedding supper of the Lamb if the trump of God sounds. After what things? After the destruction of the religious Babylon. He now sees, as the tribulation comes to its end, another angel coming down from heaven, it says, with great authority, and His glory illuminated the whole earth. Isn't it amazing? The whole earth is going to see this angel. His glory is going to light up the whole earth. And it's hard again to imagine God's power even through His angels. There's one account in the Old Testament where one angel destroyed 180,000 of the enemy. How powerful are angels? And here we see another angel comes on the scene. Verse 2 tells us that he cries mightily with a loud voice. Guess what? The whole world's going to hear that. Can you imagine what that's going to sound like? The whole world is going to hear this angel cry out with a loud voice. And he cried mightily, verse 2, with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. Can you imagine that as well? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here. A prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So the tense here in the original Greek is called the aorist tense. It means that this which is to come is as if it has already taken place. John is writing for us here even today that which is to come. And when God prophetically gives a message to His servants, to His prophets, it comes to pass, doesn't it? Even before Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, over 330 prophecies were fulfilled in Him. Things that God said were to come that took place. And you can take this to the bank as well. No, don't take it to the bank. Take it all the way to the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's what you want to do. Pardon my terminology here this morning. Babylonian thinking. We can take it all to the wedding supper of the Lamb. When God says something, it's going to happen. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. It's as though it has already happened, as if it has already taken place. And when he says Babylon is fallen, guess what? It's going down. And one day this angel is going to shout, Babylon is fallen, meaning it is finished, it's done, it's cooked. Babylon, the world system, the political and economic system, it says is a dwelling place for demons. Would you say that there is demonic influence in politics today? And again, I'm not going to expound on that one. Read the word. It'll show itself to you. I hold on to the good news. I don't hold on to the fake news. And guess what? All over this world, there's demonic influence in politics. That's why we're just biding our time. Come on, you awake yet? A dwelling place for demons. And again, I don't know about you, if you're in tune with the person of the Holy Spirit, have you ever seen demonic stuff going on like you see today? We have television commercials I can't even mention from the pulpit. We have television commercials I can't even mention to the men's ministry on Tuesday morning. Just filthy garbage that's influencing our country today. And it's so sad. You're sitting there with your kids or your grandkids or your wife or husband, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden this commercial comes on and you're going, where in the world did that come from? I know where it came from. Right out of the pit of hell from demons. And it used to be that they would, filter these things. I think they take the filters off. A prison for every foul spirit. Would you say that's going? A cage for every unclean and hated bird. Jesus referred to them as the birds of the air, demons of darkness. Babylon, the world system, was the headquarters for all of these things. And would you say that the world system is influenced by these today? It is so evident, folks. It's right there, right there. She's corrupted the world. The world is living in corruption. Those of you that have been around for a while on this planet, we're looking at laws that God warns about. That God says judgment is coming if you practice those things. And what have we done? We've legalized them. Whoa. Heavy stuff. And I'm not going to lay out a list. You know what they are. And it just seems as though everything that God warns us about, why does he warn us? Just to be mean? To be legalistic with us? No. He warns us of these things because he loves us so much. And these things lead to destruction. Look how these things are destroying people's lives today. Look at the list Paul has in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5. Of all those things, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And every one of those things he warns us about because they will destroy you. They will destroy you. Again, I look at the television set. How's this one? Drink responsibly. Gamble responsibly. I'm going to do a sermon someday. Sin responsibly. We are irresponsible if we practice. Is there a reason that they have Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous? Hello? That's got to tell you something. These things will put you in chains. They will put you in bondage. They will destroy you, your family, your kids, your grandkids. How do I know? Because I was there. And I almost lost it all. One more second, I would have been done. And that's why I'm so passionate about this incredible book that sets the captives free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Totally free. God breaks the chains. But what do? We label it. Oh, it's a disease, a deficit, a disorder. It's a sin, my friend. Verse 3 tells us that the Babylonian system has polluted the whole world by intoxicating and seducing the whole world with idolatry, ungodliness, and the abundance of riches and pleasure. Riches and pleasure. Look what the world is seeking after today. It's okay to have possessions as long as they don't possess you. Enjoy what you have, but keep a loose grip on everything, because things of this world are temporal. But what does Timothy tell us, 2 Timothy 3:4? That today people are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Would you say that's true? Yeah. And this is a warning to all Christians of all ages. We need to beware. God tells us these things so that we don't fall into that trap or into that snare. And again, in Timothy, before the return of Jesus Christ, the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. That bothers me. That breaks my heart. How easy it is to become possessed by the things of this world. I believe Satan has the world's largest tackle box filled with all sorts of lures. And he knows exactly what will entice you and I. And he keeps throwing those lures out there, right? You ever notice that? Man, every day a new lure shows up. He's trying to lure us in. I think it's so, so important that we have discernment like never before. Beware of the intoxicating, seductive things of this world. They will try to seduce you, drinking them up and wanting more. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You know that worldly things, the things of Babylon, don't satisfy. It's okay to enjoy certain things, but you know what? Don't look for satisfaction in the things of this world. Mick Jagger's 80 years old, and he's still singing, "I can't get no satisfaction." I wish I could talk to Mick. Mick, I got satisfaction. Worldly things don't last. They're temporal. Always wanting and always desiring more, right? You need to upgrade on sin. 4-8. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works, in the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow.' Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine." The hammer's going to drop. Paraphrase. "And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her." Wow. And so here John. I wonder what John was thinking, having to write all this stuff. Man. And so here John, here's another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." And you know what? That's a warning for today. Come out. Separate yourselves from these things, from the world system, that which is anti-Christ and that which is anti-God. Get out of there. Separate yourself from these things. It doesn't mean that we separate ourselves from sinners. Look what Jesus did when he was around sinners. He didn't partake, but he loved them. He even loved the one who betrayed him unto his death. We need to have broken hearts for the lost world out there. We really do. And not to judge them and damn them, "You're going to hell." No. Jesus Christ came into this world to die a brutal death on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And he makes himself available to everyone and anyone that would believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. When God says come out, he means come out. God called Abraham out, didn't he? And Abraham went. He didn't ask why, didn't question what God said. He came out. God called Israel out of Egypt, and they came out. God's people are to separate themselves from that which is ungodly. How do we know the difference between godly and ungodly? Right here, again. It is amazing how when you spend time in the Word of God, and all of a sudden these temptations come along, how all of a sudden, man, they stand out like a sore thumb. We know. I remember, as I've mentioned before, the day that I got saved, they gave me a scripture verse that, man, has just totally blown me away my whole Christian life. With every temptation that you will experience, it's common in this world, but with that temptation, God will give you an escape. With every temptation that you and I face, there's an exit. Flip Wilson 1:1 doesn't get it with God. The devil made me do it. He can only tempt you. He can't make you do anything. You have a free will and a free won't. And it's up to you what you do when you're tempted. Run, get out of there. Joseph did. He lost his robe, but he didn't lose his reputation. We need to run. You ever run from something? I have before. I got to get out of here, man. And God calls us to separate ourselves from that which is ungodly. And he gives two reasons here. Lest you share in her sin. Meaning, having joint fellowship or partnership with her in sin, with the world system. We must have unity in the body of Christ, but in the Spirit. And again, isn't it wonderful how here we are, Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever the doors are open, or whenever we, you know, run into another believer, how our spirits are united. It is amazing how that happens. We're united as brothers and sisters in Christ by the person of the Holy Spirit, without compromise. Secondly, he says, lest you receive of her plagues. That's the end result of sin. Plagues. Destruction. Even today, there's monkeypox. That's the latest plague that's entered the world. And guess what? It's a sexually transmitted disease. So be careful out there in this world. Don't monkey around. I know. Pray for me. You got to be careful. Run. Flee these things. And Babylon's sins, in verse 5, have reached all the way to heaven, and God remembers them. That's pretty heavy stuff. God sees every sin. We've seen it on Wednesday nights in the Old Testament, how God was telling this king through the prophet Elisha that I even see your sins in your bedroom. God sees sin everywhere that it takes place. Here's the good news, and if you're a believer, you know this. My Bible tells me that when we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us for how much of our sin? How much is all? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible also says that he remembers our sin no more. Wow. I wish I didn't remember them anymore. Sometimes we get these flashbacks from our BC days. But God remembers them no more. Done. Finished. They were completely deleted, if you would, common terminology, by Jesus Christ on the cross. But her, the Babylonian sins have reached all the way to heaven. And she's going to receive double payment for her wicked deeds. Double payment. Wow. Again, 7 and 8. He says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived in luxuriously in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges. Babylon's worship of pleasure and luxury, Babylon thought of herself as a queen, a ruler, on top of the world, exempt from pain, grief, and sorrow. But God says her judgment's going to come in one day. And yes, again, like I said when I started the message in Romans 4:17, God speaks of those things as if they were here right now. All of a sudden, in one day, the hammer's going to drop. It's all coming down. Wow. Death, it says, mourning, famine, utterly burned with fire in one day. It will all come down and there will be no escape. And again, I just want to mention to you, we need to know what we're saved from. This should cause you to go hallelujah here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We need to know what we're saved from. And prior to all this coming down with what I'm seeing in the world and in politics, the economic system and all, and, you know, it was almost, and I've mentioned this over the past few weeks, we were living in Christian Disneyland. Oh, everything's cool. Health, wealth, prosperity. That was never my philosophy. But now look what's happening. Things are heating up, literally. We're not just talking about outside these doors. Things are heating up. But the good news is this is as hot as it's going to get for God's people. One day, I was talking to somebody yesterday at the men's prayer. There will not be a weatherman in heaven. It's going to be absolutely perfect. Again, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like, a perfect environment. We're not going to be floating on a cloud with a harp. How boring would that be? Folks, we're going to be dancing. Do you know that? We're going to be dancing on streets of gold. You know, gold is asphalt in heaven. Yeah, streets of gold. And we'll talk about it more next week. I don't want to, you know, I don't want you to miss next week because I tell you all about the message to come. But man, there's some exciting stuff coming in the last three chapters for you and for me who believe. But those whose citizenship is in heaven will rejoice. And I think that's an important part to convey here this morning with you. That your hearts would rejoice of what God has planned for you and for me, that which is coming. But at the same time, we should have a burden for the lost, all of them. And it's not what political party they belong to. We're to pray for everybody, including our enemies. Jesus said to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, do good to those who despitefully use us, and pray for them. We're to pray for them because I would not want my worst enemy to have to experience what we're seeing here in our text here this morning. Now, in this long paragraph, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit here, verses 9 to 20. The mourning, the weeping, the lamentation is going to be recorded by John. This is what he sees in Babylon. They're going to lament over their former mistress, the harlot, the prostitute. The world system. They're going to lose all their luxury. They're going to lose all their pleasures as they watch her burn. Check it out, verses 9 to 19. The kings of the earth, again, that's rulers, who committed porneia, is the term, fornication, and lived luxuriously with her, the queen, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, and fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses, and chariots, and bodies, and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. And you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Nada. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads, which is wailing and mourning, and cried out, weeping and wailing, and said, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all those who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." Whoa. All they can do is stand and watch their God, if you would, small g, their world, all of their riches, all of their pleasures burn. All of the kings, all of the merchants that got wealthy from dealing with all the things that are inventoried there in verses 12 and 13, up in smoke. Yeah, it's all gone up in smoke. All of their wealth, all of their possessions, lost, gone forever. Now again, step back as God's child. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind or heart of man those things that God has prepared for those who love him. We have eternal things coming. Not lustful, not these things that the world tells you you have to have. Remember the term? To die for. Guess what? That term is a lot more true than people think. He's going to bless us with things far beyond what we can even imagine. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a glorious day. And so, like I said, keep a loose grip on the things of this world. All their wealth, all their possessions lost. And John gives an inventory in verses 12 and 13 of those things that were lost. And you look at those things, and those are things that people are consumed with today. They're idols. The fruit of their souls is gone. All of those things that they longed for, all the riches, all the splendor, all the pleasures, gone. And it says, to be found no more. The sad thing, as we see in this section of Scripture, Satan and Antichrist has enslaved them with these things. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? One of the things he was tempted with, Satan says, "Bow down to me, and look, I'll give you all of the things of this world." And what did Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know what I say when I'm tempted? Sometimes out loud. "Get thee behind me, Satan." I want to hold on to the eternal, things that last. I'm not only holding on to my King and my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, but his nail-scarred hands are holding on to me and you as well. So keep a loose grip on the Babylonian stuff. Wouldn't it be funny if they labeled all these things Babylonian? Well, there's a commercial on TV about teaching kids a new language, and guess what it's called? Babel. I go, what? Have they ever read Genesis 11? They all spoke one language back then, but when they tried to ascend to heaven and be God, he babbled their language. They were babbling in Babylon. But here we see Antichrist and Satan has enslaved them. We saw earlier, a couple of weeks ago, how they had to have the mark of the beast, 666, on their forehead or on their right hand. Do you see that being possible in our culture today? I've gone to certain places, a few weeks ago, to a golf course. We don't take cash. I go, okay, just scan my forehead, just joking. And they looked at me like, dude, open door. Cashless society is coming. One time my son called me from the gate at Anaheim Stadium. He couldn't get in to pay his parking because they didn't take cash. And so slowly but surely we are headed to a cashless society. which is a sign of the end times, and they have a chip now. I talked about this when we went through the mark of the beast. They do have a chip now that can be implanted in your skin, under your skin, and you can't even see it. And they have it, I think, in Sweden right now, in many places. And also down in Florida, there are businesses that have given their employees the chip. Don't take the chip. Unless it's Lay's potato chips or Fritos. Be careful. Be wise. Come out. Get out. Get away from it. And his promise of freedom, Satan and Antichrist's promise of freedom, enslaved them. And look at how people in the world today are enslaved by the things of this world, the things of Babylon. And he uses their carnal, lustful appetites to enslave them. And it's all going to be burned up to one day, come to nothing in 1 hour. And again, look at 18 and 19. And cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." This also holds true for those who die without Christ. We're not just talking those going through the tribulation period. Those who die without Jesus Christ leave everything behind forever and ever and ever. And if you die before the rapture, die before the tribulation period, just like that, gone. Nothing. Naked you came into this world, naked you leave. All earthly possessions, all of those things to die for are gone. Picture this now in contrast. While all of these godless tears are being shed here on earth, while all is being burned up in 1 hour, there is a great, and I do mean great, rejoicing going on in heaven right now during this period. And again, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Rejoicing, excitement, seeing Jesus, seeing all of our friends and relatives and loved ones, and even some of our enemies that came to know Jesus Christ there in heaven. And what a glorious day that's going to be. Check it out, verse 20. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." My Bible tells me in many places, vengeance belongs to the Lord. And God is going to avenge these things, but at the same time, he is going to bless you and bless me and reward you and reward me. I find that amazing that Jesus Christ dies a brutal death on the cross to save me, and he's going to give me rewards in heaven. And the same for you. Yeah. There's going to be a day of rejoicing and rewards for you and I. And I'm thinking, man, you know what? I just want to be in heaven. I don't care if I get one reward up there. I don't do what I do for rewards. I do what I do because I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ saved my soul from the pit of hell and saved me from all these things that we see here. That causes my heart to rejoice, and I will go anywhere and do anything at any time for Jesus Christ. His saints, his apostles, his prophets in heaven. No more tears, no more pain, no more grief, no more sorrow, forever. And again, meditate on that sometime. No more tears, no more pain, no more grief, no more sorrow, no more illness, forever and ever and ever and ever. But meanwhile, back on earth, back in Babylon, verse 21. "Then a mighty angel again took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore.' The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of a bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Wow. Notice the repetition of not anymore in our text. All of those things are going to be gone, lost, not anymore. Don't you love music? I love music. No more. There'll be no more manufacturing, as we see here. No more work. No more weddings. All of it's going to come to a violent end in 1 hour. What's really sad? Satan has used religion, politics, business, and wealth to destroy people and to destroy the world. And look what's going on politically around the world. How many born-again leaders can you name? When you became king in Israel back in the Old Testament, you had to memorize the five books of Moses. You had to memorize God's law, commandments, everything, because you were called to lead the people. How sad it is today that we don't have leaders that are concerned more about the people than themselves. Yeah, we're supposed to be public servants, serving the public. And isn't it wonderful that that term servant is used for you and I who belong to our King? And Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is a servant of all. And as you know, the greatest blessings that we can receive here on earth is laying down our lives and serving people, blessing people, doing something for others. You know, this is a great time in the valley to witness for Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Here's a suggestion. Get a cooler chest, fill it with ice water, and keep it in your vehicle. And when you pass by these poor souls out in this 110, 115 degree heat, paving the highway, doing gardening, whatever it might be, pull over and go up and say, you know what, Jesus loves you, and give them a cold bottle of water. Jesus said, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Use this as an opportunity. Don't complain about the heat. Someone the other day said, this is hotter than hell here. I go, I'll never know. This is probably extreme winter in hell. Well, how sad it is. You know, we have so many opportunities, but instead we complain about it. Get a bunch of water. Water's reasonable. Ice it down and drive around and give them something to drink. And there's a lot of people that are homeless around, living in bushes, in tents. Again, go share the love of Christ and a bottle of water with them. But Satan uses religion, politics, business, wealth to destroy people's lives. Just look around. Take an inventory. Bottom line, Jesus wins. Jesus saves. The Lord will vindicate his people and is going to destroy Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. Praise be to God. He's patient. God is patient. How many times you said, Lord, come today, please? Then the next day when something cool has happened, oh, Lord, you can wait another day or two, you know? Yeah, we're going on a cruise. That's kind of funny, too. Be careful who you go. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, the Apostle Paul, you didn't want to go on a cruise with him. He was shipwrecked 3 times. We win. Do you know that? Do you get that? Are you ready? Jesus is coming soon. No man knows the day or the hour. The all important thing is to be ready. And just before the rapture of the church, Paul speaks to the church about purity. Clean your life up. before the Lord. He's coming for a bride without spot or blemish. God's going to be right on time. When he begins to work, he does it swiftly and thoroughly, and it's going to come in an hour for the world. But here, as we close, is the all-important question. With someone snoozing next to you, give them an elbow. This is the all-important question here this morning. Are you listening? Are you a citizen of Babylon? Or are you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Only two choices. That's it. No in between. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And there's only one way that that happens. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Repent of your sins, open your heart, invite him in to save you, and you will go from being a citizen of Babylon to being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Now, how could anybody resist such a great offer as that? If you're not sure that you're a citizen of heaven, time has come for you to give your life to Jesus Christ and get out of Babylon right now. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ and change your citizenship here this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close and invite Jesus Christ to change your citizenship right now. Anyone, as we close, do you know that you know that you know? There's some heavy stuff here today, but it's good stuff. We need to know what we're saved from, right? You're all saved? Go get some sinners. Bring them in. We need to love these people to life and show the love of Christ. Whew, I'm glad I'm through this one. Next week, we won't be horsing around. Jesus is coming on Air Horse One. And you can read ahead. The good stuff is coming. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I am so grateful, Lord Jesus, to read what I'm saved from. And I'm sure my brothers and sisters here this morning are thankful and grateful for what we are saved from. That you took upon yourself on that cross and dying that brutal death, our sins. And you remember our sins no more. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that when we're tempted, as we saw here this morning, we would get out, leave, split, run, whatever it takes, not to be caught up in this world. I pray, Lord, that we would have a hunger for your word like never before, that we would pray like never before. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, pray about every single thing. Lord, thank you for the joy it is to gather together with my brothers and sisters here that I so love. I thank you for every day. And we can partake of your word. We can grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we can rejoice this morning that we are citizens of heaven. We thank you for that, Lord, because you did it for us. Thank you for the worship. As we go upstairs for coffee, orange juice, donuts, whatever, fellowship, may we love one another. Thank you, Father, for your precious word, for the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen.